Dale Evans and Roy Rogers. Some of you have heard those names, haven't you? Had a song. Your mama might have sung it. Your grandmother might have sung it if you were younger. You got to have faith, hope, and charity. That's the way to live successfully. How did they know? How do I know? The Bible tells me so. Very simple song. I don't agree with all the words of it, but I used to hear that song, and that song stayed with me. Some of you might wish it hadn't, but that song stayed with me. The melody, but also the words came to me yesterday. Not that I had a revelation or anything, but sometimes your computer computes, and my computer was computing yesterday and came up with, how do I know? The Bible tells me so. How do I know? How do I know? The Bible tells me so. Last week, we talked about authority in matters of religion. He said that in matters of religion, some have given the supreme authority to a church itself, to a church group, maybe a council or a synod, or an organization that meets on a quarterly basis or an annual basis and sets forth various creeds, various doctrines that are to be adhered to by that particular group. And we said that could be a possible source of authority as far as religion is concerned. Then we looked at each individual has a brain, and we're able to reason. Our reasoning powers, we thus conclude, have grown over the years, because man has a great volume of knowledge in libraries and many places to study. And thus some say that, each individual can determine of what they believe religiously. Yet the Bible says it's not within man to guide, to direct his own steps. A third possible source of authority for religion would be the Bible. Why didn't I come up with that? Yeah. The Bible. Lo and behold. This book. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. That's what we're kind of going to talk about. But you know, they didn't have the Bible in the first century. They had an Old Testament. And they could study about the promises of the coming Christ. And when he came on the scene, they could go back and they didn't have access to 3, 4, 5, 6 different copies or translations like many of us do in our homes. I probably have 10, 15, 20. Jerry probably has a good number that he doesn't even know where they are. I don't know where all of my Bibles are. You say, well, I know where mine is. Well, maybe you have 1 or 2 or 3. In the first century, they were already having trouble with what had been preached to them, and those who had preached were directly inspired by the Holy Spirit. All Scripture is inspired of God, so they had the inspired Scriptures, and also they were led by the Holy Spirit. The apostles were led by the Holy Spirit, and many others had special powers during the apostolic times to teach. And they did teach. The Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, many of the others taught God's Word, and some years after it was taught in the various locales, Paul, Peter would write back to these people. Here's what Paul wrote, to a group of churches that he had helped to establish in an area called Galatia. After his typical introduction, referring to himself, Paul, as an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, raised him from the dead, establishing his authority. Then, once he got through some introductory comments, he said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ, unto another gospel. You say, man, why didn't they know better? They knew better. He says that you have moved to another gospel. Verse 7 says, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert. And that word means change. Change the gospel of Christ. And then Paul adds this statement. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you, any other good news unto you, any other gospel than that which we preach unto you, let him be accursed. And Paul says, is that not plain enough? Let me repeat it. And he does for emphasis. And he's not being nasty to these people. He's an apostle. He's writing to tell them something directly from his heart. Remember, he wrote 1 Corinthians 12, and he talked about all the problems he had throughout his life. Shipwrecked. He was beaten. And he said, you know, after listing a bunch of other things that he'd gone through, and he says, and what's more, the cares of the church. So not only those physical things, those things that brought him down mentally, but those things that brought him down spiritually. Because the brothers and sisters, those that he had brought into the church, those who he had taught, who became Christians, were now turning their eyes toward another message, turning their ears toward another message. So early on, first generation, not over 25 or 30 years had passed. So you see, a sermon like this needs to be preached every 25 or 30 years. This is my first one here in 30 years that I've preached like this. I've been here 30 years, right? Three. As we said before, Paul says, verse 9, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you receive, let him be accursed. And then he gives some reasoning. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But there are many today throughout the religious world who are pleasing men, who are listening to the Joel Osteens of the world, who are listening to Jake, what's his name, on TV. I can't remember his name now, but I've been silly enough to watch him lately. Throw out a bunch of garbage that is a perversion of the gospel. Oh, they go into all kind of teachers of the book of Revelation. Some of them do. Others won't go into anything. They'll stay totally with the love of God, the love of man, and those are essential. But we have to study God's word in its entirety. That's why we need to be Bible-thumping Christians. We need to bring our Bibles to Bible class and check to see whether what Lonnie's or anybody else is reading is what my Bible says. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. Roy and Evans and Dale, and I don't put them up on a big pedestal as being teachers come from God. They just had a message that they believed in, and they taught it. But they got their message. They didn't say, how do I know the preacher told me so? How do I know my next door neighbor told me so? And, you know, and he's smart. I believe him. How do I know the Bible tells me so? Now we're going to begin the introduction of the sermon. Word restoration, what does that mean to you? Word restoration. You know, we've had a couple of words in the used over the years related to religion. Another one, something like restoration, was reformation. Within the word reformation is the word reform. That was back at the time when Martin Luther looked at what his church was doing, the Catholic Church. And he saw some things he didn't agree with. In fact, he came up with about 95, I think, that he put on what the church in Wittenberg, Germany. Tacked it on the door. Boy, that caused trouble. But he wanted to go back to as much as possible to what God's word, or at least what he thought. I don't know whether he went totally into the word, but what he thought should be done. And he thought that people ought to have that the Bible ought to have a say so in what he believed. Later, there was in this country a movement called the Restoration Movement. Now, I say movement, it's not, it was referred to as a movement in the books that you read about that period of time. But it has within that word the word restore. Now, you don't restore anything unless there's been some changes made. Well, I'm sure that would be what Paul was saying to the Galatians. He says, brethren, you moved away from the gospel to another gospel. You need to restore what you previously believed. You need to move away from that perversion and that change that has happened in oh so little time. And go back to what I taught you. And if he were preaching today, that would be parlayed into back to the Bible. And this is what the Bible says. But there were several men that began, in fact, in reading some of my history of our people in Wilson County, I was at the library and somebody, boy, came up with a lot of genealogy material about the Lonnieses. Most of them were Baptist. They didn't like Campbellites. In fact, one of them really got after it. That's what they referred to members of Churches of Christ back about 100 years ago, or maybe a little bit less. But there was a movement, and sometimes that term was used in derision, but one of those individuals, Thomas Campbell, penned a plea, let us speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible's silent. Now, that was a message then, but that's been really the message of God's word throughout history. People were not to speak. If God gave his directions and instructions to a prophet, that prophet wasn't to go out and preach and teach something other than what God told him to as his spokesman, as God's spokesman. In fact, there were several prophets that got into trouble because they did just that. They wanted to go off on their own, and they worked for hire for someone else and spread different messages. Peter said essentially the same thing as let us speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent in 1 Peter 4:11. 1 Peter 4:11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, or as the precepts, or the words of God. And today our plea should be the same as theirs. If there has been a change from that which existed in the first century, first of all, you have to develop authority, though, the authority of the Bible. If you or I don't believe that the Bible is authority, then my whole discussion will mean nothing. Because we have to begin with the supposition and with the belief in God and the belief in His Word as being inspired and as being the final revelation to man. You don't need new religious groups. They crop up on every corner in Mount Juliet and Lebanon. They basically are the old religious groups under a different name and under a different flavor. Basically, it's like Baskin Robbins. If you don't like vanilla, you can get all those other weird colors and put into a cone and have your cone of ice cream. You can mix it up. Boy, some of these churches mix it up, you know. You can go there at one service and you can listen to bongos. If you don't like bongos, you can go later and they'll have the sweet music of the organ or the piano. Whatever suits your ear. Paul would say, whatever suits the ear of God. And to Timothy, he would say in 2 Timothy 4, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. And later in that context, he said, you know, there will come folks who will want to hear bongos. They will want to hear smooth words. They'll have itching ears, is what he says, to be exact. What if your ear itches? You want somebody to scratch it. What if you're concerned with what the preacher said about what the Bible says, and you say, man, I can't. I just don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. Well, I tell you what, you don't have to hear. You can be in a, quote, religious session next Sunday morning, and they won't tell you anything the Bible says. They won't tell you anything that you may be thinking that might be wrong. They won't encourage you to get back to the Bible and do things the way they did in the first century. Now, if that's not the right way, then I'm preaching in vain. We need to return to the Word, is the way I see it. Now, that's what Paul was telling this church at Galatia. He did not say, you know, you've moved from the gospel to another gospel, and boy, I'm proud of you. As one guy said down in Jacksonville Beach in a class I had, I don't think he was a Christian, a young man in class, he said, you know, I'm glad there's so many churches. Because it doesn't matter what you believe, you got a place to go. Now I could be, I was teaching the class on that occasion. He says, I tried my best to tactfully give him a definition of what I thought the church was. Or what the Bible said the church was. Jesus said, I'll build my church. Upon this rock I'll build my church. Matthew 16:16. In Acts chapter 2, Peter preached the first gospel sermon, and those who were baptized, who believed, who repented and were baptized, they believed, yes. And they repented, the Bible says, that they were told to. And they were told to be baptized. It says later in that same chapter, and the Lord added to the church such as should be saved. That's the church that I told that young man that I was talking about. I wasn't talking about some church where the man has changed the gospel to a perverted gospel, to a perverted message. Paul didn't end his comments with, bravo, you're doing a great work out there. You're providing a service for people. There's so many people in the world with so many different ideas. You've got to provide it cafeteria style. Some people like strawberry pie. Others like chocolate pie. So, you know, you go to Piccadilly for lunch. And you have your pick. Coconut pie, maybe. Chess pie. And so we're served cafeteria style by some who would say that they're preachers. Back to the Bible is where they preached. And what they decided and the way that they presented their message was, look, they had developed over the years many teachings that are foreign to God's Word. Just get rid of them. And that's what they did. These were people that went to Presbyterian Church, from the Baptist Church, from different religious groups, and they said, hey, look, what I've been preaching is not according to God's Word as I've restudied it. And, you know, they repented. And they went back to what they should have been preaching. Now, the core of that restoration, please, that which I want to study for the next couple of Sundays. First, and we've talked about it to some extent, there needs to be a restoration, and we need to restore respect for the Bible. Respect for the Bible as authority. Respect for biblical authority. Now, I mentioned in our class we were going to talk about the word respect, because before we can talk about respect for biblical authority, we have to talk about respect for authority. Because that has to come into the equation, doesn't it? What is our current climate as far as respect for authority is concerned? Oh, it's not too good. Kids don't respect their parents like they used to. One thing, they're not being taught to respect their parents. Sometimes their parents, and I'm not jumping on just one or two here, their parents. But sometimes the parents don't act like such should be respected. Respect cannot be demanded. Respect for authority in schools. Respect for authority on the job. Some of that's gone by the wayside now, hasn't it? And it's no wonder that people don't have respect for Bible authority. For the Bible authority. Jesus, after his resurrection, said, all authority, or all power has been given me, and the other translation says all authority. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth, Matthew 28:18. Apostle Peter said in his book, 2 Peter 1, verse 3, he said that Jesus' power is invested in his word and provides us with all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Brother Marshall Keeble got a hold of that word all. And he said, you know, if we've been given all things, how many more things are there? Did I wake anybody up? Been given all things. Brother Keeble would wake you up, wouldn't he? If any of you heard him preach. He was a black gospel preacher. For those who don't know, that probably converted as many as 40,000-50,000, I think they estimate. All things that pertain to life and godliness. All things, I mean, nothing else is left. When we speak on any religious subject, we need to speak as the Bible speaks on that subject. You say, I don't know the Bible that well. Well, maybe it's time you got started studying the Bible. On a systematic study, but I'm too old. No, you're, there's still an urgency about it. We're never too old to learn. I took an H&R tax course and came out about top in the class. And I thought, man, it's going to be hard. It was hard, but it's not impossible. Nothing is impossible with God, and nothing is impossible with us. Oh, we're slower. I'm slower. But a lot of times, those of us are a little older, a little bit slower when we're to arrive at a conclusion or to come. But when we get there, we got it. How do I know? The Bible tells me so, that we need to get there. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Are you ashamed this morning? Rightly dividing the word of truth. So it's not enough to know something about the word. We need to know the word. We need to be able to give a reason for the hope that is within us with meekness and fear. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. That's what I learned about that. Some of us are retired. We don't know the Bible. That gives us time. You know, what I find is if I don't set aside certain times to do certain things. Boy, I got more stuff on my plate than I know what to do since I've been retired, Melvin. I'm sure you do too. Somebody will say, well, why don't you come by and feed my dog or cat or come by, I heard you talking about it earlier, or come by and do this on vacation. Why don't you look after this, my grass on vacation? Why don't we study the Bible? I'm available any day to have a Bible study if you can't come up here at night. I'm available in daytime. So respect for Bible authority needs to be restored. Number two, there must be a restoring of obedience to divine commands. We don't like that word obedience anymore. Obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Another way of saying that was, if you love me, you'll obey me. Now, when your mama or daddy told you to do something when you were younger, most of us, and you didn't do it, and they're going to punish us. And boy, I know a lot of times I use this. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. Now, sometimes I got by with that, but you don't keep on with that alibi. I didn't hear you. Are you hearing me? And if we was up the street in that black congregation, we'd get some amens, you know. But if we got them here, I'd fall dead right here on the spot. Like I did down in Jacksonville Beach. They taught a lesson on the home. One of the elders there hadn't heard a lesson on the home in years from their preacher, and they were kind of out with the preacher, and I was assistant. And he said, amen! And boy, where am I? What was I saying? I think I'll repeat it. Needs to be a restoring to obedience to divine command. Hebrews 5:9. Find obedience is essential because the Hebrew writer says that Jesus Christ is the author of eternal life to all them that obey him. Not all those that say Jesus. For I believe in the one they call Jesus. There's got to be a little bit more than that. It's got to go into a deep and abiding faith. We found out in our study in Hebrews that the Hebrew Christians of the first century were falling away, were wandering away, were slipping, were backsliding. And Paul reminded them, or the writer reminded them, of the time when their ancestors were in the wilderness and were taught by God, through Moses. And they faltered because of unbelief. Millions of people, only two, entered into the land of rest of Canaan. The rest of them died on the way, including their leader, Moses. Our right to eternal life is coupled with our obedience to Christ and his word. To those who would scoff at the need to obey the commandments of the Bible, and it follows that if we're to obey the commandments of the Bible, we need to know what they are. Now, there are 10 commandments in the Old Testament. So you can write them down, except, you know, the change from the Sabbath, the seventh, to the first day of the week. So it best you know those 10, because Jesus agreed with those 10 in coming forward into his teaching in the Sermon on the Mount and other places. So if you're violating those 10, you know you're not obeying, although 9 of those 10, you're not obeying the gospel of Christ. You're not obeying the commands of Christ, though. But there are other commands. There's grace, yes. That's the grace of God. We need to keep that in mind. But I want to read, and we'll close with this comment. Let's look at Matthew 7. Matthew 7. This is Sermon on the Mount, right toward the end. Begin with verse 21. Early on in Jesus' ministry, people were rather at ease with his messages. Were rather at ease because, you see, he performed miracles. This is the boy wonder, the man wonder, the miracle maker. He turned water to wine in Cana of Galilee, the buzzword was, you know, got around. Why, there was a man by a pool, and he healed him. And did you hear the other day? There were thousands out away from town, and they were hungry. There was a little boy there with a small lunch, or a little bit bigger lunch than you'd normally think you'd have, but just a few fishes, a few loaves. Jesus fed all of them. Didn't anybody go away hungry. In fact, they had leftovers. They had leftovers. And so they listened to his messages. But after a while, messages got a little harder. And sometimes as we read and study God's word, the messages hit home a little bit more. But that's when we're learning. That's when we're growing. You know, we talk to kids about, on our feet, you're having growing pains. You know, we're hoping that'll shut them up. You're having growing pains. Well, sometimes as Christians, they're growing pains. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, you know, I'm interested in knowing what he's going to say next. He's told me who won't enter the kingdom of heaven. He said, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. It's important to do the will of God. That's what Paul said back in Galatians 1, did he? He said, do I please men or do I please God? When Jesus was in Gethsemane, it came to his mind, do I please me or do I please God? If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That's a valid statement for each of us to follow as far as our example of living the Christian life. Many will say to me in that day, Jesus goes on to say, Lord, Lord, if we not prophesy in thy name. They had those powers back then. In thy name have cast out devils. Thy name done many wonderful works, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, prophesying was not iniquity. Casting out devils was not iniquity. But they were not doing the will of the Father which is in heaven. That's what their iniquity was. They were doing their own thing. They prophesied. They liked to prophesy. They loved it. Casting out demons, that was great. But some of the more mundane things, maybe. Service to others. Giving to the needs of others. Sympathizing with others. Encouraging others. Helping others out when they lose a job. Providing them with a way to live. Keep their head up high. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one of them who hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not will be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Well, how did they receive that message? It came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. It was so different from what they had been hearing. Other teachers. He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes, not as the religious leaders of his day. And that's what had to be done. All right, send him to an early grave. Yeah, they thought it was an early grave, I guess. It was planned by God. It led to his death. But he was resurrected. We've got that hope, haven't we? We've got that hope of an eternal life. We need to have respect for the Bible as authority, though. We need to respect the Word of God. This morning, if one here not a Christian, why not come to Christ today? Why not make that decision? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then stand upon it and act upon it with the repentance of your sins, confession of Jesus, based on your faith, and to be baptized for the remission of your sins, as the Bible sets forth, as the early church did, as that which was preached and taught by those Spirit-led apostles and teachers. If you as a Christian need to rededicate your life, or if you need the presence of this congregation, whatever you need, would you come as we stand as we sing?